What would you think that mindset is? Like, what do you think inside you has allowed you to kind of make these pursuits in both health and fitness, but also travel and things like that?
The fact that I'm the author of my own life. This is my life. This mm-hmm. is my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone knows that, and everyone knows make the most of each day, this and that. But I actually truly say to myself every day, this is your life. How do you want your life? And you, then I make actions or take action steps to get there. Right.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. It's Thursday, which means we're speaking with another health and fitness professional. My guest today is a yoga instructor, a wellness blogger, and a world traveler. I'm very happy to welcome Lauren Schuster to the Addicted to Fitness podcast. How are you doing today, Lauren?
Good, thanks.
Now, we were talking a little bit before we started recording, is that you are also a University of Tampa graduate.
I am, yep.
Correct? So you've been in Tampa since what year?
2009.
Now, I know I started in Tampa. I came here for school in 2002. I left for a few years and came back. But I want to know from, like, your perspective, what do you think about kind of the health and wellness scene in Tampa, how it's developed since 2009?
Oh, gosh. Well, upon coming here, before, I guess, quote-unquote, developing from 2009 till now, I was very impressed with the health and wellness scene coming from New England. It's a bit cooler, and I guess a good way to describe it is when I first came home for spring break or whatever, I got off the plane, and I noticed that everybody in Rhode Island looks exactly alike, and they all compared to here, and I think the diversity that I guess I found here, as opposed to where I grew up, mm-hmm. brings so many more options. Growing up, there was more so just the gym, whereas here, there are so many boutique fitness studios, which I guess those have definitely became a lot more present over the years since mm-hmm. I've been here. But even before that, just such a diverse array of different modalities that people use to optimize their health and wellness, from holistic things to hard workouts, types of races, there's always something going on.
Right. Yeah, I guess the environment kind of is conducive to lots of working out outside or different modalities like you mentioned. So, and I've kind of, one of the things I noticed, and I'm sure you've taken advantage of the parks around here, especially yep. downtown, they've developed a lot, is kind of like the greenways and things like that, the bike path is becoming more and more each year. It looks like they're kind of developing more and more. So it's I think it's kind of being conducive to somebody, both of us who are in the fitness industry, more people getting, you know, more health conscious. So
yeah, it's beautiful. And that's one of the things that drew me to Tampa in the first place. I was intrigued by the idea of a city and a lot more happening. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I was a little put off by the quote-unquote city vibe. So one thing I really liked about UT was, first of all, that there was a campus inside of the city. Mm-hmm. As you know, the campus is ridiculous. It looks like a resort.
Yeah.
But even further than that, like you said, in the most downtown-ish, that's not a right word, but part of the city, there are so many beautiful parks.
Yes. Yeah, and I think it's really developed over the last 10, especially for 10 years. You've been here, and I was here for about approximately 7 years before that. Then Curtis Hickson wasn't there. And
right.
I know we're getting a little bit too local, but, you know, it's coming from somewhere like where you came from, New England, it's the see the difference. And I lived in Denver for a few years to see how that was very cool. Health-conscious city. And now I think Tampa is starting to trend that way, which is good for someone like yourself who is in, you know, yoga and then wellness blogging. What type of, going back a little bit, what was the, I would say, I don't know, but the, if there was a certain event, or have you always been drawn to health and wellness, or was there something that inspired you to go into that field?
So I've definitely always been described as happy-go-lucky or a free spirit, just kind of the type of person that wants to make the most of every day. Even since I was a little kid, I've been waking up at 5 o'clock automatically, body clock, my poor parents. I'd be riding my bike in the driveway before school. I just genuinely enjoy fitness, as well as the things that correlate to fitness that you don't really realize. Mm-hmm. And I think once people find those things, I was lucky enough to find them at a very young age because my family is pretty active. Once you find those things, that's what makes fitness addicting, I think. Right. You know, I don't work out simply because it makes my body look or feel a certain way. I always tell people after a workout when I'm feeling all those endorphins and stuff, I think I would work out even if it made you fat because it just feels so good.
Right. Yeah, no, I and it's great. It's like it's kind of once you make it a habit, it's now it's part of your life.
It's a life, yeah.
It's just like eating or breathing, you know?
Yeah, it actually hurts to be inactive now.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know. That's it's very true. And that's good. And so you took that, you obviously took that beginning and you came down to Tampa, but you pursued, well, not to say shooting butt, but you pursued a different kind of degree when you came to UT, but you always had health in mind when you were doing that?
Yep. So I came to Tampa with a major of psychology.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that I wanted to go to college, needed to go to college. And my mom gave me very practical advice. She said, well, what's your favorite class? What do you like to learn about? Because you're going to have to learn about this thing for 4 years. And then, you know, you can kind of see where it goes from there. You'll be taking other classes as well. And psychology is something that has always intrigued me. I did have a good teacher in high school. But even just on my own to this day, and as far back as I can remember, I've been reading human optimization or self-development books. So that really sparked, I guess, a curiosity in psychology. Mm-hmm. And I've just always been so curious about everything right. and everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that might try to
right.
help me answer some questions.
Now, do you think, I mean, in what I see, I mean, that's definitely a complementary kind of degree field to health and fitness. Because as you mentioned, it, you know, once you get to that point where you've got the workout, it's become a regimen. It benefits your psyche as much as your actual body. The physical self, the mental self is benefited as much as, like you said, as looking good or feeling good.
Right, and I truly do believe, as cliche as it sounds, in the mind-body-spirit connection. Mm-hmm. And science supports that. So one of the factors that inspired me to become a yoga instructor was during all of my clinical psychology classes, there was one common denominator between all of the mental illness, as well as just more life coachy type problems, mm-hmm. I guess you could say. And that was stress. Between, as you know, raising cortisol and just a whole hoax of different things mm-hmm. beyond even just the effect of stress on your behaviors and choices. I mean, it's the number one killer. So I found wellness to be a great, I wouldn't even say factor in that because I think it really is just all related. I think living is wellness and
yeah.
it can be good or bad, but
yeah.
you don't really have a choice, I think.
Right. No, I agree. And it's a common topic that comes up a lot on the podcast and the people I've spoken to is the effect it has on their mental health and how important focusing on mental health is and
how
we're somewhat, I think we're trending in the right direction of being more aware of our mental health. Have you seen that trend too? Since you started and you have that background in psychology, have you seen more people over time become more aware of it, about how the effect on their mental health?
Oh, absolutely. I think while people may have been curious about their own mental health or struggled and tried to secretly seek advice and whatnot, more and more people have becoming more public about things that had been previously stigmatized to be embarrassing or shameful mm-hmm. or things of that nature. But while people kind of give social media a bad rap sometimes for making followers or people that consume content
right.
ashamed or feel bad about themselves, I actually find it to be very inspiring. So, for example, I mean, there are so many celebrities that I listen to on podcasts that talk about their postpartum depression or their debilitating anxiety or just even hearing their story. There's absolutely nobody that I know or know of that has become successful. And by that, I mean happy and healthy as well as wealthy
mm-hmm.
that hasn't struggled and overcome something in pertaining to mental health. I mean, everything's an ebb and flow. So I think learning how to ride that wave has become something that people seek out when looking to optimize their life.
Right. And somebody, when you mentioned earlier talking about, you know, you read books about, you know, trying to be optimized, the first person that came to my mind was Tim Ferriss.
Yep.
And
I love him.
You know, and that's another talk about things that reoccur on this podcast. His name comes up a lot.
Oh, my God.
But I know he, I think he talked about it recently, that he had struggles with recent anxiety and possible, you know, suicide.
No, yeah, he says right out on his podcast that he had such a detailed plan to commit suicide that he doesn't feel comfortable sharing it.
Right.
Because he is such a provoking, thoughtful man.
Yeah.
That he made it in a way that would have less of a negative impact on his friends and family, yeah, this and that. And he can't even tell people because that's how thought out it was.
Yeah.
Right. But, you know, so you look at people like that, and I mean, if you're looking for success in the health, wellness, optimization field, he's definitely an icon, I'd say, of our time. And like you said, not only has he overcome depression and suicidal thoughts, as well as I think he's spoken about bipolar disorder and anxiety with many of his guests, he, did say that he still struggles with those things today, despite making it his livelihood to learn about how to decrease the negative.
Right. And I think that's important that people realize is it's, you're never going to be done. You know, you're you're always a work in progress. And I think starting young is a huge part now that I think we're starting to kind of, incorporate more with our children. And someone like yourself, you're a child yoga instructor, correct?
Yep. So I teach, it ends up being all ages, but so it's 0 to 4, 4 to 17, and then adults. And
oh,
then
wow.
Elderly. So, yeah.
0 to 4.
Oh, they're my favorite.
Yeah?
I love them, yeah. As you can see, I'm finally coming out of my shell and lighting up.
Oh my gosh,
they're amazing.
We have a 0 to 4-year-old at home. We have a 6-month-old now. So, and
so
her
cute.
And her mother, my wife, is also a yoga teacher. Well, now, you know, just got done with her yoga teacher training. So we're interested in, you know, introducing her to yoga. And I'm curious to want to know, kind of to go off that topic, how your type of approach to yoga instruction has to vary between the ages.
Absolutely. So I think, irregardless of age, it's all about meeting people where they are. Furthermore, meeting them where they are that day, in that moment. Even if it's a private client that I've had for years, how they show up this Wednesday might be completely different than how or the person that they were last Wednesday. You know, we're always constantly evolving. Like I said, everything ebbs and flows, so I think it's important to, meet them where they are. And I think that's one of the things that attracted me to yoga as a practitioner as well as a teacher, because I don't feel comfortable with the motivational. I don't really know how to say this, but put it this way. I don't let the kids get out. Like, we'll play games, and they'll be like, Miss Lauren, we're playing a game. Like, you have to make people get out at the end of the game, but I just feel too bad.
Right.
So yoga is a great opportunity for me to be able to help people, challenge people, but do so in a safe, compassionate space.
Okay. I see what you're saying. So, and then, like you kind of alluded to it, maybe the younger group, they need something that's a little bit more type of the game aspect to it than opposed to adults, which, I mean, kind of seems logical to a sense.
Yep.
But how do you relate, like, the game aspect to yoga?
Yeah, so I think everyone needs something different.
Right.
You know, that's why I learn a bunch of different sequences, this and that, but I never go into yoga class with a set plan because it depends what hurts them that day or doesn't hurt them or what they need, whether I realize it or they realize it and tell me. But as far as 0 to 4, kids thrive on routine at that age or those ages, and 0 to 4 is a huge scope because zero, as you know, cannot stand. In 4-year-old, they're zip-zapping up and down the walls.
Yeah.
So we do a lot of games, and we do a lot of the same songs every single week, because then they recognize it and they know, okay, it's time for this. When I walk in to the nursery that I just came from, they all look at me and say, yoga, and they run and they get their little mat and they roll it out, take their shoes off, and sit down. Like I said, I am very, very laissez, I guess, the opposite of an authoritarian. but they all line up and do it because they're excited to.
Right.
And that same feedback that you get from adults, you get much more so in kids because they're honest and they don't have a filter.
Right.
So with that being said, when it comes to the 4 to 17-year-olds, it's also difficult because a 17-year-old is basically has the same body as I do.
Mm-hmm.
And a 4-year-old is sometimes still struggling with potty training.
Right.
And they'll tell, you know, this sucks. I'm like, all right, well then. And sometimes they even say, this is so easy because they want to show that they're great and stuff. So sometimes I tell them, line up against the wall. And then I do boot camp. Then I show them that they liked it before. But we play all sorts of games. They also love to do partner poses and work together in a group.
That's cool. No, I mean, just like you said, and it's something I'm developing now because being a personal trainer is my second career, so now I'm learning as I go, is that you can structure workouts all you want, but then if the client comes in saying, oh, like I have a couple clients with asthma, they're like, my asthma's really acting up today, and, you know, 50% of the workouts hit, you know, or something like that, you got to adjust on the fly. So being able to be, you know, adaptable to the situation, especially when you have a large, I mean, how large do your groups get? Like, do you
can for rank, which age?
I would say probably the 4 to 17-year-olds.
I mean, anywhere from just a few kids to 50 kids sometimes.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a little crazy.
That isn't.
When there are more kids, I do make it much more regimented, structured. There's no choices. It's, we play the music. All right, do this. And then everyone gets in line.
Right. And and then I can see, mine was kind of like one or two basis. I mean, when you've got 50 people, you got to have a structure in order to, you say, keep people
it
in line.
It also makes the most of their time and
that's
experience.
Good. And I imagine, too, with that age group, having the structure, like you alluded to, is beneficial to them. You know, that's how they get the most out of their work. If you're just saying, okay, now you can go this, and then maybe this after that, they don't have any direction, then you're going to lose them easily, like you said. And when you've got the, it's just so interesting, 4 to 17-year-olds, that's such a wide range. How do they do with each other? I mean, do they interact?
They do great, honestly. Yeah, so it is cute. They do interact. When we do partner poses, people are usually with children of the same, not necessarily age, but height, just for logistics.
Mm-hmm.
But, especially the girls that are maybe a new older sister or want to be a new older sister, they're all about helping the little kids, even if they don't need help.
Nice.
And they love it. I also many times will have the kids teach the class or teach their own groups. Everyone does a good job of working together. I think there are benefits for the younger kids of being with the older kids and the older kids learning leadership and teaching skills. I also think they get the experience of being a teacher or a helper, which could help develop them in their career path. For example, I always loved playing teacher when I grew up. I knew that I wanted to help people. I knew that I would definitely not be my best self behind a computer or doing anything with numbers in any shape or form. So those experiences, whether it's being captain of a sports team when I grew up or something of that nature, led me to know that I wanted to be in a field where I help people in person, not sitting down.
Right. Now, I know this in your website, you blog of a lot of, you know, health and wellness topics. And what's the website again?
LoElizabeth.com.
LoElizabeth.com. Sorry. Well, I'll make sure to put all the links on the show notes for this episode and make sure everybody can find out how to contact you. And one thing you do a lot when I saw the post on your website was traveling.
Yeah.
Now, and I'm curious to know, because obviously world travel, I think it's a lot of people aspire to do it. What do you have a memorable trip that, I mean, I'm sure they're all memorable for different reasons, but is there one that sticks out in your mind for a location that you think if they could get to that one place, they should go and try to get there?
I do. I also have another comment to make.
Okay.
So, number one, and we can come back to this, the answer is the South Island, New Zealand. Number two, when you were just asking that question, I thought you were going to go more in the direction of a lot of people aspire to travel, but what makes you actually do it or things like that. Everyone wants to be fit.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows how to be fit. It's just about taking that action. And I think in a variety of ways, health, fitness, as well as travel and life experiences in any way, are so closely related now that I think about it. And a lot of those decisions come from the same mindset.
Yeah, so just like what would you think that mindset is? Like, what do you think inside you has allowed you to kind of make these pursuits in both health and fitness, but also travel and things like that?
The fact that I'm the author of my own life. This is my life. This is my life. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone knows that, and everyone knows make the most of each day, this and that. But I actually truly say to myself every day, this is your life. How do you want your life? And you, then I make actions or take action steps to get there. Right. So I want to be someone who's seen the world. And I mean, the travel bug is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Wanderlust is so contagious. And once you see, wow, this is ours. This is for us. I mean, even places where there's turmoil, for example, another memorable trip was arriving to Israel the day the Gaza Strip got bombed. Mm-hmm. So while people might say, yikes, why would you go to Israel during that time, this or that, being there is so different. And the Israelis say to us, why would you ever go to New York City? It's so dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about what you know, and different points of views or perspectives in any pursuit are helpful. But when you can really draw back that wider lens, I feel like that has led the entire trajectory of my life, and I'm glad that it has.
Right. And like I said, my only travel, very limited, you know, Mexico or South America a few times, and then, you know, Hawaii recently. Nice. Which is the United States, but, you know, it definitely has a different culture.
United States is much more than its own country.
Yes,
it's like
exactly.
50
countries. So I understand what you're saying. Being there, you can see it as much as you can see it or what hear about it in the news. Being there in person, it gives you a whole nother type of appreciation of it.
Of course.
Because you're when you look it on the news or you read it in a magazine, it's somebody else's perspective. But when you go there and experience yourself, then you see it through, like you said, through your lenses. So that's how you get your real appreciation for the place.
Yeah, and coming back to mindset, when you are experiencing it, you are doing so in vacation mode.
Mm-hmm.
So you're on adrenaline because you can't wait to soak it all in. And I think people would even enjoy their own neighborhood more if they woke up pretending. Oh my God, actually, growing up, I used to have a sunroom, and my mom and I would get, this is very anti-health, Dunkin' Donuts coladas, and we would sit in the sunroom and pretend we were in Fiji. And you couldn't tell the difference. Even especially, as you know, here, you can be on the beach in Florida, and I could tell you that you were anywhere in the world,
yeah,
and you'd
true.
Believe it, but wouldn't you appreciate it so much more if I told you that you were in Tahiti?
Mm-hmm.
So while on vacation, I think you're documenting, and whether you have a travel journal or like to take a lot of photos on trips, even before social media, you're actively making memories and capitalizing on every opportunity to do so.
Right.
Yeah. And realizing it and appreciating it.
Right. That's true. That's that. The big thing is like having the mindset where you gotta appreciate it,
mm-hmm.
not just be like, oh, this is only it's only temporary. You don't think about that. Don't think about the day you're leaving. Think about, you know,
yeah.
the moment you're in at that point in time.
Absolutely.
So why South Island of New Zealand?
Oh, my God.
I'm sure
it's actually very interesting that is what I chose, because I hate the cold.
Uh-huh.
Don't get it. Never will. Don't even get me started. That could be a whole podcast series.
Mm-hmm.
But so, like we were saying, the situation really set me up to have the time of my life. So when I was, rewind, look at this little girl staring out of us over the fence. That's what's got my attention. She's so cute. I always loved traveling. I traveled a lot with my family, which I'm very fortunate for. My mom never got on a plane until she was married. So she really took advantage of the opportunity to bring us places and let us see what she mm-hmm. couldn't. With that being said, I was never good at detaching from my parents. I lived in my happy little bubble, and while that bubble traveled all over the world, it did so under mom's wing. I mean, I am terrible at directions because I've never had to look around and realize mm-hmm. how to get back or something like that. So going to Tampa scared the shit out of me because it was not only not near my house, it was not in my mother's kitchen. She actually made me choose a school that was out of state.
Mm-hmm.
For college, because she knew that I would be at the counter every morning for breakfast. So once I got to Tampa, that really gave me the momentum to put myself in positions to sees the chance to see the world and stuff, but also because after this, the next chapter is marriage and kids.
Yeah.
And it's not so much fun to go to New Zealand with a screaming 8-year-old. So I wanted to, and also traveling to the Western Hemisphere takes a lot of time between the travel, the layover, blah, blah, blah. You can't just pick up and go for a weekend. So I got to Australia for my study abroad. And during orientation, which I was sitting there with my little notepad on the first page of which said, I think it said, say yes to everything. Even if something was so outside of my comfort zone, I did not want to, I had to say yes. And that's why I went alone, because I didn't want to use a girlfriend or a group of friends as an excuse to have to hang back with them. I can't go skydiving today because they're sick. Or, well, don't you just want to go get coffee or find someone to be too comfortable with? I was forced to make friends, things like that. So at the orientation, they played a video of, it's called The Most Extreme Adventure Trip, and it was in New Zealand, South Island. So I signed up that day, paid for it. The thing that was great about it was that you paid for the entire trip. You did not pay for New Zealand. So you paid for the most extreme adventures, which, talking about accountability, really helped that I had put $500 down already to go bungee jumping. It's all included. If you don't go, you just eat the money. So I went in, all in. I knew I was going to do it, so just suck it up and go. And it's not something you say suck it up for. It's so exciting. But I got there, and it was the most beautiful place I have ever, ever, ever been in my life. It was cold, but it was so beautiful. Like you said, you lived in Colorado. And even here today, it's a little chilly, but in the sun, it's different. And we're surrounded by greenery and nature, crisp air. Just the happy noises, even like that swing in the background, is just so relaxing to me. So when you go on vacation or create content, even today, you pick the best picture and you do that. New Zealand is like one of those live videos where you're always seeing 360. Every single picture, I feel like, is how it all looks. I mean, if I had to take a picture of everything beautiful, I would not stop filming the entire time. It's just unreal. And the culture there, just the way of life, they're just very down to earth, so friendly. Many of the people there are traveling as well. I did learn when I was abroad that Americans travel a lot less than any other culture for a lot of reasons. But so it was really cool to meet people from all over the world. And why New Zealand? I mean, first of all, there's so much to do. It's filled with adventure. In one day, I think the second day, we went skydiving, lugeing, bungee jumping, and to like four different bars in the best burger place in the world, Frog Burger. But yeah, it's just filled with adventure. It's so exciting, and it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, I've always heard great things about New Zealand. So I know, like it's, I said, ridiculous. if you can deal with the travel associated with it, but that's also part of the process. That's what makes it rewarding, I think, is getting over there, you know, taking the time. I mean, I know people don't like sitting on airplanes, but you also...
Well, you could do it in little increments. So on my way back, right before I left, I went to Bali because it was kind of on the way. I stopped in, I think, Switzerland, Germany, and then I met my family in Hawaii for Christmas that year, which is, I mean, we're from the East Coast, so that really broke up the trip.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you have the time to, you can hop around.
That's a hell of a year.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Now, there's something, one thing we touched on, you travel a lot. How do you maintain your health through all that travel? Because a lot of people, when they travel a lot, unfortunately, they're exposed to a lot of stuff with just being at the airports and things like that. Quick question, just kind of just something that popped to mind. How do you maintain kind of the health through all that travel?
So this is a perfect example to prove the point that it really is a lifestyle. It's, I know habits and routines are great, and I'm all about them. But like you said before, you need to be adaptable in any situation. And whether you're here or across the world, every day is going to be different. The only thing promised in life is change. So you need to just do the best this is my motto, I guess, do the best you can where you are with what you have. So I just step choice by choice, try to set myself up for success, knowing right. that my trip will be better because I'll feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So in a more concrete answer, I make sure to prehydrate, stay hydrated. It comes full circle because even little tips and tricks that I've learned through being in the health and wellness field make my travel so much more enjoyable. For example, putting a golf ball in my pocket and rolling my foot out on a golf ball.
Yeah.
You know, people's legs swell up on planes. Knowing just different stretches that I can do that no one can even see, or, as you know, muscle contraction, just sitting there and squeezing, you're probably doing it right now that I say,
yeah.
just squeezing your legs mm-hmm. or anything. It's a great workout.
Right.
It's all focus. It's a great time to meditate. I actually think that I'm most productive on airplanes.
I agree.
Yeah, you know. just because I do truly enjoy everything involved with a healthy lifestyle, that is the answer to your question.
Yeah.
That's how I stay healthy, because I do the things that I love while abroad. I mean, I wouldn't want to be overseas.
You don't take a
doing
vacation.
Doing something that I don't do here. Yeah, and, you know, walking and running, being outside, biking, are all amazing ways to sightsee. For example, many other countries are much more active than we are, so the options are limitless, or there's so many new things to try that working out does not have to be going to the gym.
Right.
It's mostly not for me.
Mm-hmm.
So walking up the Eiffel Tower instead of taking the elevator is a great experience. It also is one hell of a way to get your steps in for the day. So, you know, just little things like that.
Right. Yeah, just taking your active lifestyle
and
with you.
Making the most of the place you're in. So shopping local just so happens to be healthy, but it's also a great way to experience the culture.
Right. Yeah, those are great tips. Now, there's one thing, and I told you before, it's like kind of we end each podcast or each interview or conversation I have with a health and fitness professional is about the one piece of health, one piece of health advice you'd like to give to the listeners. What would that be?
Take care of your body because you love yourself, not because you hate yourself. And even if, I hope it's not, but you're short-term goal is just to look good in a bikini, have that mindset, because it will make you look better in a bikini. You know, your cortisol will be lower, you will work out more, just these natural things. It really is all mindset. And I think you have to really appreciate your body. One thing I really learned through my experiences with teaching and learning yoga is that we're all just souls. This is getting a little hippie, but
it's good.
A little woo-woo.
Uh-huh.
We're all just souls, and our body's that vessel. So I'm grateful for my experience here in the universe, mm-hmm. and I need to take advantage of that vessel so that I can thrive here and help others do the same.
Wow. Great piece of advice, and I really appreciate you, you know, making the time. We had a good, like you said, you
yes.
described the situation.
We're outside
a coffee shop talking, so this is a great interview, and I want to know, I want to give you the time to let everybody who's listening know how to get a hold of you or follow you on the social media and website. Please let them know how to basically get in contact with you.
Thanks. So my blog is loelizabeth.com. So Lo is a nickname for Lauren. Elizabeth is my middle name. So L-O and then elizabeth.com. My social media handles are loelizabethblog. So B-L-O-G after loelizabeth. My email is lo@loelizabeth.com. But probably Instagram is the best way to get a hold of me. And send me a DM or something if you have a question. My goal really is to help people, so knowing what people are looking for help with helps me do a much better job of that. So I'd love to hear what people are more interested in learning about, any questions, because that will set me up to best help other people.
Right. And that Instagram handle is Lo Elizabeth?
the Instagram is Low Elizabeth Blog.
It is blog. Okay.
Yep. The website's the only thing that is just Low Elizabeth.
Gotcha. All right. And that will be all included in the show notes for this week. Thank you so much, Lauren, for coming on and speaking with me. I definitely appreciate it so much. Glad that we connected since we're both in Tampa. I know you travel a lot, but still. Hopefully if you have something going on in the future and you want to talk about it with our listeners, you'll come on back on.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This is fun.
Thanks again, Lauren.
If you want to learn more about Elemental Training Tampa, check us out on Facebook or go to our website, elementaltampa.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter under the handle ETTampa. Please rate and review the podcast. Your feedback will help us get better. Thanks.